I'm Kurt Benkert, and this is Pocket Presence, powered by Sleeper. Welcome back to another episode of Pocket Presence. I am your host, Kurt Benkert. This is my co-host, Tyler Webb. And we have a very special guest today, none other than Todd Gurley, who was actually a teammate of mine with the Atlanta Falcons. Spent 6 years in the NFL, all of them with the Rams and the Falcons. 2015 Offensive Rookie of the Year, back-to-back rushing touchdown leader. Just a generational stud talent at running back. How are you, Todd? What's life like, man?
What's up, man? Everything's good, man. Life has been good. Like I said earlier before the call, about to become a girl dad, so excited about that.
There's nothing better than that. Can attest to that. Where are you guys living at now?
L.A.
L.A.? That's awesome. Yep. L.A., Todd, baby. I love it. I know.
Yeah, man. Pretty hard for me to leave here. I like it here.
I don't blame you. Every time I go out there, my wife's like, can we just extend the trip a little bit? So I get it.
Definitely. What about you? Where are you based?
We are in North Florida in the Panhandle in between Destin and Panama. Have you ever been to 30A? It's like an area up north, Florida.
Destin? Nah. I stayed in Pensacola for a minute. Been to Panama.
So we're right near there.
Okay.
Yeah. Emerald Coast. It's been nice. This is the after football settle down spot. So it's been good to us.
Not a bad place to be.
No, not at all. Not at all. I'm excited to jump into this. I know before I even met you, you could just tell, I'm biased now because I was your teammate, but you run different and you ran different than a lot of guys in the league. And we want to start with some football questions to get this rolling. Came out of the SEC. We're an absolute animal. What do you feel like now that we're in draft season talking about these guys, the SEC prepared you for the NFL? Do you think you had an advantage over other guys to know what to expect and everything in between?
Yeah. Obviously a little biased, being able to play in the SEC and go to Georgia, but I definitely felt like it helped me prepare. I haven't been in tune into college football as much the last couple of years to see the difference in conferences and stuff like that. You know, obviously the Big Ten won it all this year, but definitely that was one of my things coming out of high school. I definitely wanted to be in the SEC, and I thought it would help me as a player.
Yeah. Well, I would say that it did. And it's, I think, more so than anything, I feel like there's this barrier of what to expect, or this minimum threshold of what to expect when you get a running back that was able to produce in the SEC. And I would say it hasn't really changed that much. There are some other guys coming out from Texas and some of these other big organizations /programs that compete every year. But yeah, I love that.
But I was on I was on the weak side of the SEC too, to be honest with you. You know, obviously we all know that the SEC East isn't nothing compared to the SEC West. That's not, the downgrade. Obviously Tennessee they were decent last year, but they're not who they was in the past, and Florida, and South Carolina as well. So still got some building to do over there on the East.
Well, your school's sure building for the long haul every single year. Always the top dogs. Yeah. That's awesome. Tyler, you want to hit the next one?
Yeah, Todd, I feel like you hear people talk about DBU, wide receiver U. I feel like Georgia doesn't get the credit it deserves for being running back university. If you could make a Mount Rushmore out of all the great running backs that have come out of Georgia, who'd be your top four that you put on that list?
See, it's like, are we talking about what you've done in college or what you've done in the league? Because
I think we got to go college.
Yeah, we're talking about college. I mean, you got to put, as far as Georgia-wise, you got to put, Herschel Walker. I'm a big Nick Chubb guy.
Yeah.
But it's damn, you can't pick Nick Chubb without picking Sonny Michel, too. So
who was a dog in college?
Let's just say those guys are one piece.
Okay. the two-headed monster.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm a newer age guy, so no Sean Marino. Don't get me the lion. It's one more person. I forgot though. It's Tim Worley.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I want to say Tim Worley, so I'll go those three. I mean, obviously, I would definitely include myself, but
yeah,
I was kind of hurt a lot in college, so you know, I'll give it to the guys that actually almost either won a national championship or almost won a national championship.
Yeah, you mentioned the difference between being in college and being the running back, or being in the pros. What, for a running back specifically, is that a big jump? Do you think it's easier at that position and then other positions? Just talk through what that jump is like to go from a school like Georgia, who's playing top of the top, to then going to the NFL.
Yeah, well, for me, you know, we were a pro-style offense, so we were under center, out the gun. So I was never really truly like 100% comfortable running out of the gun, because I never done it that much. I was almost more, you know, pro style, just being in the back.
Downhill.
Yeah, more and more downhill. But then also, it also depends on, you know, luckily I was lucky enough to start. But then also, like, I knew I would get a lot of carries. So, it wasn't like I had to make plays, because I knew I would get the ball. I would get touches 20, 30 times. So, you know, it wasn't like I was trying to make a home run play every time. It was like, all right, I'm cool with getting, you know, 4 to 5 yards, because all I need is just a first down. But then also, I always felt like being a runner of, like, first quarter, I was really never a first quarter guy. I was always really a fourth quarter guy. You know, defenses get tired, the game goes on, and everybody gets tired in the fourth quarter. So it's pretty much like, what can you do trying to catch that second win and break tackles. But as far as the running back position, right, it's not really rocket science. Like, either the holes there or is it like the holes are there or is not.
Yeah.
In the NFL, it's totally different, because I feel like college, high school, college, like, you can get away with athletic ability, right?
Yeah.
As you know, Kirk, being in the NFL is like, all right.
Everybody's good.
Yeah, everybody's good, but not only that, like, you got to have a good offensive game plan, good offensive coordinator, but also like someone that's going to put you in the positions to make plays. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for me, it was like, I was running back. I had more like the Adrian Peterson mindset, as far as like, I didn't know anything about catching out of the backfield. You know, I mean, I had a couple of screens here and when I was at Georgia, but once I got to the lead and I started, you know, seeing guys like Le'Veon and Devontae Freeman and David Johnson, obviously, you know, later on, like, Christian McCaffrey's and Alvin Kamara's, but it was like, damn, you know, instead of 11 guys trying to hit me, it's just one guy trying to hit me. So, like, I'll take that all day, you know? Yeah. So the physical abuse is definitely there. I mean, it's there for every position, but mainly for us, like, we know we're going to get hit.
Yeah, I think it's a really unique perspective of, like, you're not trying to score a touchdown every play. Like, yeah, you'd love to, but I think most fans think, he's going to break one. But like you just said, like, you were playing the long game in a game, knowing you're going to get 30 carries. I think it's different when you're going to get 4 carries a game as like a backup or like a spell back. But when you're knowing that you're going to get 30 carries, you know, your team's going to need you in the fourth. You know, the defense is going to be tired in the fourth. Like, it's just a cool mindset that, like, even running backs, who people think, oh, you just run fast, you try to make people miss. Like, you're playing a chess game throughout the whole game to set things up for later, because one broken tackle in the fourth is how you get a 60-yard run in the fourth. Where, like, to do that in the first quarter is a whole different scenario.
No, for sure. I mean, I'm sure you have guys that, you know, just kill it. You're going to have games where you're, you know, you might average 10 yards a carry. But, I mean, majority of the times, I mean, you know, you take a Saquon Barkley, for instance. Man, you know, it's generational talent, but you know, you look at Saquon, he hits you there, but for him, he's gonna break that 60 or 80 yarder sooner or later. But then all the other carries are just like, you know, just a couple of yards. So I feel like, you know, as fans or just as players, because that was the thing, you know, I used to get frustrated early on in my career, like trying to make a play. And I remember, you know, talking to like Frank Gore one time, and it's a guy who's been in the league, had multiple 1,000-yard seasons, a lot of success. And, you know, he was just like, yeah, I see you getting frustrated, man. Just, you know, don't get frustrated. Just take your time and, you know, one play at a time, on to the next play, and, you know, one game at a time. So yeah, that kind of definitely helped me out and changed kind of my perspective as well.
It sounds so cliche, but that is the NFL. It's like the guys who don't get bored doing the mundane same stuff, they fall into good plays that are less risky than people that are trying to make plays all the time. Then you risk fumbles and this and that. So Frank Gore, yeah, the GOAT, man, he's laying down some good wisdom.
Literally, you really couldn't have said it any better. Like, literally.
Appreciate it. So 2017 was your statistical best year in the league. What do you think made that year different than the rest for you?
New coach, just new system. And then also maybe prior that year before not having like the best year. So it was more probably like on a scouting report a little bit, but not much of a like, yeah, he had a good rookie season. It was okay second season. So it's like,
you got to turn it up.
Yeah, you got to turn it up. But it was really, I guess it was really just the overall environment. Obviously winning, being in different situations. But I feel like my third year was when I was able to pretty much get in space, have opportunities to be in space, one-on-ones, catching the ball off the backfield, and then kind of really understanding the outside zone, the wide zone plays and the inside zones, like, but then also trusting it. But my memory is not the best, but I'm sure I felt, you know, went into that season feeling good, but then also kind of like a vengeance season. So that year was just, it was definitely a hell of a year.
Who was the coach that year again?
McVay. So that was McVay's his first year. Yep. So that was his first year.
That's
so
what I thought.
That was also another thing for him, right? Like, it was like him coming in as a rookie. Like, obviously, you know, under the Shanahan tree and stuff like that. But it's kind of like, you know, it's new and exciting for him. So it's not stuff that defensive scouts seen as well.
Yeah, which makes a big difference. I think you're finding more like younger coaches now having success because they're willing to go against the grain and willing to do things. They're what they think is the best way. And I feel like that's why so many young coaches are thriving right now, because the NFL, I feel like, has gone through a shift in the last 10 years where it's been kind of out with the old, in with the new, but it's been a slow process to have that happen. And even like our time in Atlanta, my year one in Atlanta to my year three, we didn't even have RPOs in year one. Like, RPOs were an offseason addition that were like, we're going to see if this can work in the NFL. We don't know yet. That was in 2019. And now the whole league's running RPOs. So it's just.
Yeah, no matter who's the quarterback, right? No matter who's the quarterback, whether he can run or not.
Yep.
And then, definitely. I feel like, too, when I first got into the league, it used to be like the head coaches were always have like a defensive background.
Mm-hmm.
Now you see these young guys, all offensive-minded type of coaches.
Yeah, that's funny with the RPOs. I'd imagine, like, as a running back, RPOs are probably a benefit, things you want to have, because you know that you're only getting the ball on a premier look. And so I remember when I was in, I think it was, after my first year, going into year two, we were going to install in the offseason on RPOs, and we started watching the Eagles. And Matt Ryan, Matt Schaub, and my quarterback coach brought me into the room to teach them RPOs and like, how are you reading it in college? Because they had no idea. And I'm like, well, you're looking at this guy, and if he moves this way, you throw it here. If he moves that way, they're like, it can't be that simple. Like, it can't be. I'm like, no, in college, we didn't care about the nickel. We didn't care about like what front it was. It was all space. And it's just funny how sometimes the NFL is so late to the party on things. And now everyone in the league has them in their packages.
Yeah, that's funny. I still get coaches, running back coaches to the day, they'll call me and say, hey man, what was you reading on those outside zones and those duos and stuff like that? And I'm like, man, you played in the league. Like,
yeah,
y'all just won like 10 games last year. Like, how do y'all not know this?
That's funny. It's so funny. I think from the outside looking in, the NFL is one way, but on the inside, it's an entirely different hierarchy and like knowledge distribution. It's just, it's all different. But
yeah, for sure.
That's so, I want to talk about the running back market. This year we've seen running backs go now. They're starting to get picked up a little bit more. They're starting to get paid a little bit more, I'd say, than they were last year. There's some guys that I think still deserve more money. Like, what do you think has changed in the running back market since you were that guy? And now to what some of these other guys like Aaron Jones, who just had a monster stretch at the end of last year, but kind of got slighted. Is it because he's 30, whatever? I just want to hear some of your thoughts on running back market, what they're being used for, and everything in between.
Yeah, the running, I mean, obviously, it's, like you said, you had a couple of guys that was able to, you know, get some money, but just looking at it far as like Aaron Jones, right? For me, obviously, you have a little history with the Packers. You can correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm looking at Aaron Jones, obviously, besides Jordan Love, I'm thinking he's literally their best and only offensive option. But
this is unbiased, guys. For everyone that's watching this, yes, this is unbiased.
But then, like, for me, too, like, I love Josh Jacobs, but it's like, I feel like, damn, you got rid of Aaron Jones for Josh Jacobs. Like, I really didn't understand that. I didn't understand, like, the Joe Mixon thing either. But, yeah, I don't know. They're definitely having, like, fucking meetings and shit. Like, all right, look, who are you going to pay? Okay, all right, you're going to pay this, but
like, honestly, there's got to be some behind the scenes, like, hey, what did you guys just offer so-and-so? Because, like, they're matching the same numbers on contracts when the contracts come out minutes apart.
Yeah. Honestly, man, I've been trying to figure it out, too. I just stopped. I was like, you know what? Yeah. Maybe it ain't for me to make any sense. I'm not supposed to know, so. Yeah. Honestly, I have no idea. I know the. And then it's like, you know, people say the production, but I'm like, okay, but that can go for anything. You know, if the running back's production's down, then I'm sure either the receiver's production is going to be better or the tight end's production is going to be better. So
everybody's got to produce.
The hell do I know? I don't know. I do know those guys. I do know those guys. They love football. They enjoy football. And I kind of understand that. I feel like one of the things with the new CBA kind of hurts with guys, you know, before then there was only a certain amount of years before you can be on practice squad. Now guys can be year 15 and be on practice squad. So you basically just told everybody like, hey, I'm basically willing to play for whatever.
Yep.
Cause they always say, hey, we're going to bring you in on practice squad for a couple of weeks, get you acclimated and then bump you up to the active roster, which sounds good, but they can pretty much say anything.
Yeah, it's definitely a weird, like, negotiating holding pattern with the way practice squad works now. And I had to deal with it in Green Bay. I dealt with it. I was the only protected practice squad player the entire year, to where if a team wanted to drag me from practice squad in Green Bay to their active roster that week, they couldn't do it if they missed like a window. So like if a player got hurt on a Thursday or Friday, I was protected to where I could not be poached for that game week. So
was that in like, that's like a contract thing?
It was in the CBA. Like I think that season you could have four protected players every single week. And I was the only player in the NFL for the entire season to get protected every single week because they wanted me as the third string quarterback on practice squad, whereas some teams want a third string quarterback on the 53. And so you see guys like Julio Jones last year got signed to practice squad for a week or two, then bumped up. And it's like, they're definitely navigating every loose ends of these contracts to get, you know, save money and to elongate value, I guess, for them. But I don't know, man. It's that stuff I could go on about forever.
Because that's, I mean, as you know, right? A linebacker can get hurt. Now you have to cut a tight end for to bring somebody in. So, like, I remember that, like, when I was with the Rams, probably for like 2 or 3 years, like you said, you'll have three quarterbacks. And three are on a 53-man roster. Yeah. Supposed to, we would have had three quarterbacks on the 53-man roster, but we would only have two active running backs on the 53-man roster. So sometimes that stuff never really like made any sense to me either. No.
Yeah, and but I mean, especially really when all the running backs are playing. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real.
Todd, so, do you see any solution to the running back stuff? I think the unfair part about it from an outsider's perspective is the more that you play your position, like if you play 3 or 4 years in school, you already have tread on those tires. Then you play 3 or 4 years in the league, you become less valuable the more experience you gain. Do you think there's any contract solution to this? That it seems like the guys got together, what was it, 2 years ago now, where they're trying to work a way where, you know, maybe they could not get tagged, or maybe they could only have 3 years on their rookie deal. Like, any of those solutions stand out to you as a maybe a good next step for these guys?
Honestly, being a backup would probably be better, because it give you more love as a backup. But it's like, obviously you won't make the money as a starter. You probably have a longer career. It varies too, man, because you have a lot of those guys where, like I keep bringing up the Saquon situation, where it's like he goes number two overall. Going number two overall, you know your contract's fully guaranteed. So it's like anything after that for a second contract is pretty much going backwards. But yeah, when you draft a running back who's top five, they're pretty much going to have guaranteed that signing or the highest paid contract as far as like in the history. Obviously, you got guys like Adrian Peterson, Christian McCaffrey's, but it's kind of that's where it's difficult for me to look at, because it's like, damn, I went top five. My contract's already 30-something million. It's like, how do I try to get more?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird. Tag. You're at the peak. Like, you're at the mountaintop from day one, and it's only down where, like, other positions.
Yeah, without even proving yourself.
Yeah.
And then you go prove yourself. You have a good couple of seasons, and then, you know, a guy that's, and I hate doing the comparison stuff, but you kind of got to when it comes to getting paid. So,
yeah,
you go pay a guy who's going to be your third receiver more than you will pay your starting running back, and end up just sitting the third receiver on the bench all year and pay him to not do nothing.
Yeah, it's also tough too, because you just look at production on the field and how much a guy is needed. Like, you can't play the game with a bad running back. Like, you have to have that. You can get away with a third receiver not being amazing, but it also helps. It's just, I think there's definitely a discrepancy in the pay scales right now. And I don't know. I think over the next few years, that's probably why guys like Christian McCaffrey are so valued, because it's a passing league. They can do a little bit of both, but I could imagine the mental like weirdness that you were in when you're getting all of your money up front early. Like, go play for a few years and see where things shake out. Like, it's a weird spot.
I do believe that if you want the big payday, it has to be from the original team that drafted you.
That's a good take.
And I remember, I don't know if it was Les, the Rams GM, like, he was like, we're paying you because we want to pay you, not that we have to pay you, you know? Yeah. So that was like, that was kind of cool to hear, you know?
Yeah.
Because it could have just, I was 4 years, fifth year option. They could have just rolled that, you know?
Yeah.
So
you see it all the time.
Yeah, you do, man. But we're just going to have to wait for that next beast to come around, bro. Whoever it is, it's going to be somebody. I'm not sure who it's going to be, but somebody going to have to come and, you know, just be that next generational talent.
Shake it up. I think that's a good transition for us now. Like, do you see anybody in the league right now that kind of, like, piques your interest, that's like, maybe they could be that next guy in their year two of their or in their second contract? Like, you guys like Bijan, you got guys like Gibbs. Like, do you see guys like that does one stick out? I know that's a tough one.
Gibbs, he's nice. He's super nice. Like, I like Bijan. Achane, I love Achane.
Yeah.
Love Achane. Like, that.
Yeah.
Fire.
That's sweet.
younger guys. See, that's another thing. Like, I kind of like kind of how, like, Bijan's, like, progressing. So it's like, for instance, where you come in the lead and you rush for 1,500 off the back, it's like you already set that standard high. It's kind of like with the coaches, right? These new coaches, they come in, they get these head coaching jobs, and they're going to the Super Bowl within their first 2 years. So it's like anything other than that, it's literally like, it's like I was saying with the contract, it's like it's going backwards. Like, you set the standard so high. So I definitely like Gibbs, though, man. Yeah, he's super nice. Bijan, HN. Who else? Any other young? Breece Hall.
Yeah,
Breece Hall. Sorry, my fellow Bulldog, James Cook, had a hell of a year.
Yeah, he did.
Looked like he's going to be doing everything up there now.
That's funny. Well, I don't want to hold you much longer, but I do want to know, like,
no, you're good, man. We're good. Chopping it up.
I have two more questions for you. So, one of them, best teammate you've ever had and why? You've had some good teammates, dude. Like, you've had a lot of different types of teammates, obviously.
My favorite guys. Okay. Benny Cunningham, he was running back with me with the Rams, went to Middle Tennessee. He, like, led the lead in led the NFC in, like, return yards. I think he did, like, 7-8 years.
That's awesome.
So he was with me with the Rams. And then William Hayes, he did, like, 11-12 years. He went to Winston-Salem State. He was a DN. But those two guys, like, jokesters. Like, jokesters, don't take nothing serious. But having a good time. And, you know, like, our season – In Atlanta, that 2020 season, like, without having those two vets or those two teammates, like, that wouldn't have made me appreciate that. Like, I still had fun in Atlanta, even though we were losing. Because at the end of the day, it's football, man. You're going to have good seasons. You're going to have bad seasons. So you're never as good as you think you are. And you're never as bad as you think you are. So it's just more just kind of like having fun. But yeah, those guys is just those dudes just funny, bro. No chill at all.
That's amazing. It's fun when you get around guys like that, because at the end of the day, like, somebody has to win and somebody has to lose. And everyone's at the top of their game. And I think too, like, would you rather have fun losing or be miserable losing? And that's something I can never wrap my mind around. Like, when we were bad in Atlanta, we were bad all 3 years for the most part, but we had some, like, tough losses. And it wasn't because people weren't taking it seriously. I think that's, like, that's one way to look at it. But when you're, like, putting it in and you're just coming up short, like, you might as well not hate your job too, or hate your life. Like, I could never wrap my mind around that, because, yeah, we all want to win. But
yeah, at the end of the day,
you're, like, in the NFL.
You're not going out there trying to throw an interception. Like, I'm not going out there, like, trying to fumble. Like, stuff happens. And we see it every year, like, it's not like even the worst teams, right? Like, it's not like they're just getting blown out the water. It's like, it's literally a one score game, and it just comes down to the end. Like, and the Chargers, for instance, like, those guys just can never. But I've been on both sides. So, like, I've been on the side where it's like, shit, here we go again. But then I also been on the side where it's like, oh yeah, I'm excited about this. Like, here we go again. So it's kind of like you kind of can also, like, mentally, like, already defeat yourself when you, like, oh, we're going to overtime. You know, it's kind of like the it's like some psychological. Yeah.
Dude, I was an Atlanta Falcon for 3 years. I know that. Oh shit, here we go again. You felt it.
For sure.
We had 4 games that year, I believe, that all of them, we had one, like, 90-something% chance of winning, and then it was just something happens. Like, but I
know that goes. You take those games, you damn near number one seed.
Yep,
almost the number one seed in the bye, so.
What does it take to turn that around?
Say that again?
What does it take to turn that around? I mean, you brought up the Chargers. I think that's a good example. I think Atlanta's a good example, too, that Kurt and I have talked about, like, new coaches, new young talent, just a losing culture. How do you flip that to be a winning football team?
Definitely new culture. But being able to just be in that situation and win, but it starts, like you said, it starts with practice. I've only played for two teams, so I don't really know every organization, but it's been guys who's come from other organizations. He's like, wait, y'all do these situations at practice? Like, we never did this. So it's like, well, we see why y'all losing all the time, right? So, and some stuff you can do those situations, it can go the other way as well. But I think just turning it around, but then also getting to those games and winning at least one time. So you win that one time and it's like, okay, we've been here before. We know we can do this again. Mm-hmm. Unlike when you've been in that situation 100 times and you just keep losing, it's just like almost like a loser mentality, sad to say.
So what Todd's saying is it only takes one. So for Chargers fans, Falcons fans, it takes one win that you shouldn't have had to go and change the whole course of the future. I love that.
And then that one turn into two and turn into three. And then that's like, you're like, oh shit, like, we got something over here.
Next thing you know, like, you're the Texans.
Exactly. And when I first came into the league, we used to get hyped about playing the Lions and the Browns and the Jaguars. Like, that was like, you just get super excited. But it's crazy how the times change, man.
It's quick. Well, what can people find you doing now, Todd? What has life been like? What have you been up to? What are you pursuing? I know you're a soon-to-be dad.
What's going on, man? Right now, just focus on that, you know, maturing as a man, growing. But been traveling the world, man, the last couple of years. That's been super excited. Went out there to Australia on behalf of NFL Australia, New Zealand, doing some flag football stuff over there. So that was super exciting, man. But honestly, just here hanging out with the family, getting ready for, you know, my little baby girl. And you can catch me at the Kings games in the playoffs and the Clippers games in the playoffs. I'll be tuned in. I'll be in attendance. And hopefully I can cheer those guys into some championships. But we'll see. I love that.
Well, you deserve it all, man. You had a great run, hell of a career. So exciting to watch how it played out early on and then obviously become a friend after the fact. So thanks for coming on the show, dude.
Man, no problem. And appreciate you too, man. I remember meeting you. What was that? Probably your second year in 2020?
It was my third, yep. Your third year, but
just seeing like what you're doing now and seeing how you're engaged on the internet and Twitter with all the fans, like it's super cool. It's super dope. But then also, like, just your perspective, like, your whole everything, man. Like, I've kind of seen your journey over these last years, and I'm excited for you, man. So, you know, you kind of always, like, we used to see, like, Hard Knocks and stuff like that. And you start, you know, you feel bad for guys who get cut or who don't end up getting picked up and stuff like that. But I think a lot of people fail to realize that, man, people really do kind of live their life when they get done. But then they also... We also have an opportunity to do a lot of stuff that we wasn't able to do because we were so locked in and focused on football. So just to see, like, everything that you're doing, man, and us having this conversation, like, definitely means a lot, and definitely want to say happy for you and proud of you. And I'll be tuned in to you too, Tyler.
Appreciate it.
Let's go.
Well, thanks a lot, dude. It means a lot. Again, thanks for coming on
the
episode.
And I love the name, too. Pocket Presents. That's
thank you. Yeah, it's – I think
– Who came up with that?
Yours truly. It all started, bro. Like
mastermind.
You know how seeing like the stuff on TV where you're like, they're talking ball, but like, it's kind of a stretch. And for me, I wanted to bring it back down to like, if I was sitting on a couch with a fan watching the game together, this is how I would deliver what I know to them and bring it to their level and just share like insight that just, I don't know. Sometimes some of the stuff in the NFL feels gatekept and people should know more about it. And it should be shared more freely. So that's kind of where this all started, and we'll see where it goes, but it's been a lot of fun, dude.
I'm glad you said that. I got one more thing. Yeah. Okay. See, that's what I kind of like too. Like you said, like we always talk football, but a lot of guys we need to start talking about the benefits, man. So definitely, I feel like a lot of guys need to tune in with their reps, tune in with older players, because it's a lot of benefits that we receive while we're in the lead and while we're outside the lead. So I feel like a lot of guys definitely need to be getting their workers' compensation, their line of duty, their total and permanent disability. You know, a lot of times we like to shoot the shit and, you know, talk stuff that don't really have to do, but you know, it's guys that's been out of the lead 5-10 years and they don't even know about the disability. So I feel like we as a whole NFL community need to do a lot better than that, a lot better sharing that information with one another.
Yeah, it's definitely something that's like when you're in the league, they try to they don't hide it from you, but they don't share it. And it's not until after, and that window closes fast. So for everyone that is in the league that's listening to this, check in with your reps. There's benefits to be had. There's compensation. There's a lot of compensation for the rest of your life if you fall into certain categories. And there's some categories where like 80% of the players qualify for. Injury you had, it all adds up. So
it's not a pride thing. It's like these are benefits that you worked hard for and that you actually deserve. And whether you need the money or not, it's there for you to have. So it's like, why not have it?
Totally agree. Well, that's a good reminder. I just got hit up on my rep for the first time in like 2 years. I was like, wait a minute, I actually do have some stuff I needed to go.
Yeah, and you kind of got to refresh yourself, right?
You do.
Like, you got to refresh yourself.
Yeah, so. I was like, wait, the shoulder, the back, the foot. Dang, that's a lot. Yeah, it is a lot. It just, yeah.
That's one thing I would recommend to a lot of players. My last 2 years, I would write down everything. Like in my notes, if it was a finger, week one at practice, I'm putting that down.
Yep.
So definitely, because I mean, guys beat their body up. I know a lot of guys, you know, they're not in a situation or position to, you know, be in a training room all the time or doing all this type of stuff because they might be scared that they may get cut. But definitely keep a note and have those, because, you know, it could definitely be beneficial to you in the future.
That is real game. Well, we thank you for coming on, man. Thanks for sharing the unique perspective and everything. And we'll see you next time, dude.
Hey, appreciate y'all, man. Enjoy the rest of y'all week.
You too. Have a good one. Go Kings.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all.